This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk Geek Squawk. Matt Armitage from culturepop.com. What do you have?
Hi, Frieda. Well, this is the kind of stuff that Jeff would usually handle for me, but, you know, he's not here, so I'm being forced to do it. The big story this week is Facebook finally expanding the like button.
Have you seen it?
No, well, it doesn't seem to have arrived in Malaysia yet. It was rolled out from Wednesday this week in the States and other parts of the world. I don't know when it'll hit here. Mm. Incredibly, the expanded like has been a whole year in development. Mm. So it's probably a good thing that Mark Zuckerberg isn't leading the race to fight cancer. Might be a little bit slow. As well as like, you can now respond with a wow, with love, sadness, anger, hilarity, and even a hi, my name is Barbie. That one's probably not true. Expanding the likes, this has been one of the most requested features on Facebook, and the choice of words actually came from data mining the one-word comments that users make use of. So these words, you know, wow, love, sadness. I don't know. I don't get a lot of people posting love on my posts, but hey, maybe I'm not the average Facebook user. In the original pilot in Spain and Ireland, the words yay and confused, which would have been two of my favorites, were also added, but Facebook found that people didn't really use them, so they were dropped from this rollout. There's still no dislike button, but Facebook thinks that responding to posts by saying angry or sad should be enough to show you've got some emotion. Brands, I think, are going to find this an interesting environment to live in. They will get more nuanced responses, although I've got a feeling they could end up being a bit more negative. But, you know, that's kind of useful research. And a word of warning to the trollers. Facebook will be monitoring your responses. So, for example, if your friend's hamster dies and you post, yay, that's probably not going to go down too well in Zuckerberg Central, and you may find yourself, you know, slung out of the neighborhood. Which actually brings me to another point. I mean, I wonder if Facebook's going to instigate some kind of point system. You know, a bit like the driving thing in some countries. For speeding offenses, you get so many points and all this kind of thing. I wonder if we're going to find something like this on Facebook now. It's like, you know, if you make a certain number of comments that Facebook doesn't like on someone else's thing, you get a temporary or even a permanent ban or points or something. I mean, the way the system seems to be evolving, I wouldn't be surprised to find something like that.
You know, when I read this piece of news, you know, I am on Facebook quite a lot, and I'm just thinking, really, this makes news? I mean, has my life come to this?
I mean, that's why I said usually Jeff covers this kind of stuff, but I've got to talk about it because, you know, it really is like, what?
All right.
Yeah, this is the biggest tech story of the week. Bizarrely, that we can now put wow on somebody's post.
Yay.
Yay. Okay, next
Moving
up.
On.
We've talked about car security a few times here on Tech Talk. Now, until recently, the control unit chips on a lot of cars were quite vulnerable to hacking, but as very few old models were connected to the internet, you know, you'd have to physically tinker with the engine, so there wasn't too much risk. Understandably, car makers have wanted to unlock the potential of smartphones and tablets and get their vehicles connected, but it means they're arriving a little bit late to the security party, and often they seem to be chasing things where they should be leading. So this week, a security researcher announced a little bit of a flaw in the app for the Nissan Leaf electric car. This allows a hacker to access the vehicle and turn on the heating and cooling systems, as well as gaining access to your driving logs. Now, this isn't as severe as some of the bugs, which could potentially allow hackers to take control of your steering, your braking, your acceleration. But it could actually be more than a nuisance. A hacker could use the flaw to use the heating system to drain the batteries and strand you because you'd have no way of charging the car up. And accessing the route logs could give potential burglars an upper hand in determining, you know, when you or your family are out of the house. So it is serious. The researchers stress that other car systems are not accessible. And in order to hack the car, you would need its specific vehicle identification number. However, in the same way that hackers attack PCs by bombarding thousands of IP addresses and seeing which ones they can breach, similar dumb attacks could be made with thousands of vehicle identification numbers in an attempt to find the ones that, you know, there's a breach, okay. There's a backdoor into. Nissan, of course, is working very, very hard on a fix. And the company was reportedly given 4 weeks advance notice before the researchers published any information about this bug. So to give them a chance to catch up.
Right. Wayne Chan tweeted and said the new light icons on Facebook is already available in Malaysia.
Well, it wasn't on mine yesterday.
Not on mine either.
He's obviously more important than us.
Yes. Yay for him.
Yay for him.
Wow.
and it makes me sad. Okay, I'm going to finish quickly with another happy one, because it's me. A new breakthrough in the treatment of cancers might see us learning to live with the disease rather than trying to eradicate it. Many of the current treatments for cancer are invasive, and while treatments like chemotherapy kill many of the cells, they can actually leave behind this kind of concentration of super-resistant cells that can then spread the disease to other organs. Robert Gatenby of the Moffitt Cancer Center in Florida suggests we take a different approach. We keep some of these non-resistant cancer cells alive, so this prevents the resistant cells from dominating, and it keeps the tumors controllable. So the idea is we adjust chemo levels. You get a high dosage when the tumor is growing, and you get a lower dose as it shrinks. This adaptive treatment has shown a lot of promise in its current test subjects, mice, and has allowed them to have periods of up to 6 months requiring no further treatment. And it's not such a weird idea. We already use treatments to slow the progression in diseases that have no cure, like HIV, MS, Parkinson's. And it's apparently an area that's attracting a lot of interest from malaria and tuberculosis researchers who are always being battered by these new drug-resistant strains. And it could actually be very important in terms of quality of life. During the periods without treatment, the patient would feel, you know, well and normal. In the short term, it will probably be of most use for patients with advanced tumors or for whom surgery is not an option. It will extend their lifespan significantly. But the Moffitt Center does believe that it will be difficult to get a lot of oncologists to use this as an alternative to surgery because it needs an entire mindset change.
Well, I hope this comes through, because this is important. It is something that we've been struggling for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
And when it happens, there'll be a yay from me.
A yay and a wow from me.
Geek Tune.
Okay, we're going with another oldie for Geek Tunes this week. This one is actually inspired by Facebook's big news, and maybe it will suggest a few more words that they can add to the like button. This song narrowly beat out Love Stinks by the Jay Giles Band on the basis that song's title is much better than the actual song. So this is I Hate Myself for Loving You by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.